Thank you for joining us for this month's TEA Conversation Circle. Today's topic is on plagiarism. For those of you who are new to the Conversation Circle, this is meant to be an open sharing discussion, so please unmute and share if you can. If you aren't able to, please feel free to share your thoughts in the chat or just listen in. Unless you're sharing, please remain muted so that we can prevent any background noise. Please enter your name and writing discipline in the chat so to get to know each other. And then my first question is, has anyone had their work plagiarized before that you know of? Other than Mickey. Mickey is our expert today, and she has been, so.
I was told that one of my professors plagiarized my work, but that was almost 30 years ago now, and I didn't really care then. I thought they were a terrible person, and that was enough for me. So I didn't pursue it.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for sharing.
Anyone
Anyone
else?
else? Anyone else have going through anything?
If not, or if you don't want to share, it's all right. I wanted to ask Mickey, how did you find out your work had been plagiarized? And how can someone else find out and search to see if they've been plagiarized, anything like that?
Thanks for asking, Sierra. I discovered I'd been plagiarized because I was writing a piece that I had written in the past. I was doing an update of a piece. I wrote a piece in 2007. I updated it in 2014, and it was time to do it again in 2021. It was a research summary. So research changes, so I needed to update it. So I put in some of the words that I used when I was developing the one in 2014. And I found by using a Google search that my entire sentence had been plagiarized. And when I dug a little deeper, I found an entire paragraph had been plagiarized. And when I went further, I found an entire chapter had been plagiarized. So they took my research summary and stripped out all the citations that I had meticulously searched for. And they used all the text, word for word, verbatim. So it was through a Google search that I found it. You want to know what happened next? I see
Yes.
you nodding head. So yes. I tried to reach out to the publisher on my own. That was fruitless. So I reached out to my publisher. And they developed a cease and desist letter and sent it to the publisher of the textbook. And they did take the textbook off the market. This textbook was printed, developed in another country. They probably don't have the same standards that we do, although I'm sure they have some plagiarism standards. The book was published in 2019, and I did not discover it till 2021. So you can see that they had made money from my work. Now, it was just a part of that book. It was a book on adolescence, and my section was on the physical development of young adolescents. The cease and desist letter was effective. I didn't seek any kind of remuneration. All I wanted them to do was to stop using my work.
Thank you, Mickey. Do you have any recommendations for what like type of search things people could send, databases, certain places you could look to see if your own work has been plagiarized?
I think it's pretty straightforward. In fact, if you take a sentence out of any of your work that's like a key sentence, a topic sentence that has some key terms in it, and you do a search for it in Google or any of the other search engines that you use a lot, I think you'll find if anybody has taken your word verbatim. Now, plagiarism limited to verbatim quotes. So it could be your ideas that were also appropriated is a nice way of putting it.
And for anyone who came in a bit later, our first question was, has anyone had their work plagiarized before? And Mickey has. I'm wondering if anyone else has as well. If you'd
Not
like to share.
exactly plagiarized. I have had it uploaded to sites without my consent.
What did you say? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Joshua.
Was just saying that I haven't exactly had my work plagiarized, but I have had chapters of a book I wrote uploaded to websites without my consent.
So to me, that would mean that it is plagiarism because they didn't attribute the work to you. So you were not
Well,
attribution. It's to me one of the definitions I found. I didn't know anything about plagiarism until I found my work plagiarized. All I knew about was as a doctoral student to learn how to put things in my own words, how to paraphrase, how to attribute the work. And so I was really shocked when I found it. But the definition does include taking your work and putting it on a website without giving you attribution.
I did have attribution. It was just a copyright violation. It's pirated, I guess, is really what it was,
That's a good word.
not so much plagiarized.
Thank you for making that distinction because I think that happens a lot in education. At least in my world, when I was a K-12 teacher, a lot of work gets moved around without copyright permission.
Joshua, how did you find out that your chapters had been uploaded to a website without your permission? Did you search them?
No. One of the academic websites that I don't remember whether it was Google Scholar or whether it was ResearchGate, but one of them sent me this message saying, "Hey, we found your full text. Would you like to add it to your list?" And I'm like, "That shouldn't even be there."
So may I ask Joshua what happened?
So far nothing. I marked it as a copyright violation on the website, but I don't know whether actually I didn't bother to go back and check to see whether they'd taken it down, to be perfectly honest. I suspect it got re-uploaded again if they did.
Mickey, do you have any recommendations where he could take if just marking it as a copyright violation doesn't work? Do you have any ideas?
I would just reach out to your publisher, your textbook publisher, and ask them to have their attorney send a cease and desist letter. That's really what I had to do. And, it sort of went into the black hole. We didn't get a response, but we got the material removed from the website and removed from being sold, the book being sold any longer. It's no longer available.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good idea.
How long did it take between contacting your publisher for the cease and desist to them taking the book down? How long did that take about?
It was a very long process. I had to negotiate back and forth with the publisher and had to send them specific evidence. So I took screenshots of the chapter and I took screenshots of my own work, which was published on their website, my publisher's website. So then they could compare. And then they discussed it for a while amongst themselves. And maybe I would say it was about a 6 or 9 month process before 6 months might be before the letter went from our attorney or their attorney to the publisher. And once it went out, it was only a matter of months before it came down. And I just kept watching for it. But we never got a response, which again, when you're dealing with a publisher that's not in your own country, that may or may not follow the same rules around copyright. And it was published in one country, but written in another country, a third world country. So it was very interesting to me that it actually happened at all. And then once I realized it happened, I wasn't really surprised because if we don't play by the same handbook rules, right?
That does seem like a really long time. Do you know if that's the average amount of time that these things take? Should it is do they usually take longer? Do you know?
Well, I just know that in my case, this was the timeline. I don't have that much experience with it, just this one case. But I do know working with attorneys, it takes a while to develop the letter, to have it vetted, and then to send it. There's, it's a legal document, so I'm sure there's a lot of vetting that goes on before it leaves their house and goes to the publisher.
Yes, I was going to agree with that. Just, attorneys, especially attorneys representing a large reputable company, they're not going to be sending out cease and desist letters just willy-nilly. They really have to be sure that the violation has occurred. But Joshua, in your case, it sounds pretty obvious. So if this is from, your textbook that is published by a publisher, they would want to know about it, I would think.
Sounds like the voice of an attorney.
Also, do you know how long these things usually take?
I haven't had enough experience to be able to make any kind of generalization, but what Mickey's describing sounds not unusual to me.
Thank you. If anyone else came in a bit later, our initial question was, have you been plagiarized before that you know of? If anyone would like to share. If anyone has any other questions as well, feel free to ask them.
Thank you.
I can't hear you super well. Are you trying to ask a question? Think so. Mickey, is there anything else that you'd like to share about your experience?
Well, I'll tell you that it was very satisfying when I saw that the work had been taken down. And then my publisher also learned it's important for them to always have the copyright symbol on the work and make a note that the work is copyrighted, is protected. In the case where it was published back in 2014, so that 2014 until 20. So it was really important when they uploaded the new document that the copyright, this was back in 22, the copyright was then available on the document itself. And then the website made very clear that the material that was published on this website was copyrighted. And the publisher in this case is the Association for Middle Level Education. It represents about 35,000 middle school practitioners, teachers, and professors. So it's a pretty substantial group, and so they don't want their work to be used without the right attribution or without the right permissions.
Yeah, thank you. Do you recommend everyone to add their copyright to their work? Just as an extra layer of hope that it won't be plagiarized.
I will tell you, I've been in the habit since that time, even on my PowerPoint slides, of putting my name and a copyright symbol and the date of the work to try to keep people from just using it without, asking my permission or, at least giving me attribution for the work.
Thank you. That's really smart.
Yeah, we put so much out there for people to use. And I wonder with TAA, how do you handle the copyright of the work that you put on the website?
I don't know. That's a question for Kim.
Do you mean like our like webinars, presentations on demand, things like that?
Yes.
Well, copyright is usually given immediately. Like you don't really have to put that it's copyrighted. And so the work is copyrighted on there. If anybody with what wants to share it, they have to ask permission. And then if we do give permission, we ask them that they credit it back to TAA, that that's where it originally was posted. So for example, like a blog article or something like that, because the blog articles are out publicly. They're not behind like they're not just for members. And so we will ask, we do tell people they have to ask permission to post it on there, and we have a process for them to do so. We've had requests every once in a while, somebody who wants to utilize a blog article in their like their print newsletter or something that they're putting out to their members or that type of thing. And as long as they give original attribution to TAA, then we allow them to do it. And it's mostly because we are trying to disseminate information at TAA. We might be a little bit different, and our focus might be a little bit different in that we're trying to help as many people as possible, while also, give making sure that the association is that the information is attributed to the association. So that's what we do.
I think it also be a good idea to put that little notice at the bottom of our articles from now on, too, because I don't think we, I know the ones that I post, I don't have anything at the bottom that says, like, please contact TAA if you'd like to post this anywhere. So thank you. That's a good
Yeah,
tip.
that might be a good
Write
idea.
that down.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be worth just making a standard footer that you just put on every page. So even if somebody's just grabbing one page as a screenshot, they would still have that attribution there. I see your other question in the chat. What are some of the reasons why you should take action? So as I see it, it's just basically that you as the author and your publisher did the work to get it out there. And if people are taking it, it's just the same thing as if you left your car in the driveway and somebody decided to just hop in your car and drive away. It's not theirs.
Yeah, when I saw that question, I had the same kind of response. It's our intellectual property, right? We developed the ideas, we did our homework, our due diligence from, scouring. In my case, I was doing, a lit review, trying to put the what is the research summary regarding young adolescent development. So I did a lot of work to try to update something from 2000, the last 7 years of research that had been conducted, and making sure it was relevant. Putting it together in a way that I thought conveyed key ideas, and only the way that I could do it. Some other author is going to do it in a different way, and I think that's what's so unique about being an author is you really bring something of yourself into the work. So making sure that you have that attribution is where I'm really about, but also about permission. I don't have some of the things that others of you have. Like, I don't have a textbook. I have academic books, but I don't want someone to take my academic work. And I did find a quote by this one scholar, and said that plagiarism is the most common problem in the academic world today. Now, of course, that was from 2019, so it may have changed a little bit, but it people do study this phenomena.
So I'm going to be a little bit contrary, maybe. And I'm only talking again about pirated stuff, so tell me if I'm just going off topic here. But I do wonder if, yeah, there are some people who are getting the book or parts of the book for free that might pay for it otherwise. But I wonder if there's also some element of free publicity that I'm getting. Is that Does anybody know or have thoughts about whether there's any benefit to having that free publicity?
I will say,
Oh, go ahead, Dave Harris. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that I have had both of my books are on pirated websites like LiveGen or Zlib or these other places that download books. They are attributed to me, so it's a case of piracy, not plagiarism. And frankly, I'm terrible at promotion, so I'm like, get my name out there for free, and I wasn't really counting on making money from them. So, every little dollar helps, of course, but I do feel like it's an extra place that people can get this knowledge. And my one thought about Elsa's analogy is that, somebody can take my book and somebody else can also take it, and it's still there for yet more people to take. So I'm sort of happy to have my books on these LiveGen and other similar sites just because I'm not out there promoting them. And if somebody else finds them, that's great by me. So.
So what I was going to say about that with and I do have decades of experience in copyright and permissions, is that this argument of free publicity is always used by users who don't want to pay a high fee to get permission to use something. And sometimes that is valid. And the considerations that the copyright law gives include the potential effect on the original material. So the potential effect could be that it is getting more publicity. And that would argue in the side of fair use. I'm talking, and when I say the considerations in the copyright law, I'm talking about the section of the copyright law that deals with fair use, which, as most of you probably know, is a gray area in the law. So fair use doesn't say you can use one chapter, you can use so many words, or you can use such percentage of the whole work. It just gives considerations, and one of them is the potential effect on the original material. So yeah, that giving it more exposure, that can be a good thing. If they're giving it exposure without attribution, so that nobody knows that it's yours, that's not so good. That would be a negative effect. I guess, well, as long as I have the floor, I'll just tell a really short story of a booklet that I was hired to write for the Editorial Freelancers Association. This was back in the 90s. And it was my first time writing something of that length. When I got the I think it was the final proofs, I saw that they had appropriated the copyright. I wrote it, and they never asked me or told me that their organization was going to own the copyright of what I had written. So they basically made it work for hire, even though I had never signed a work for hire agreement. So I called up the person in charge, who said to me, "Oh, I wouldn't worry about it." Well, my book was about copyright and permissions. And here, they had ignored the basic factor in the law that says once you've written something, that copyright belongs to you. So I said, "No, this is not acceptable." Well, it's already gone to the printer. So what they allowed me to do was come down to the office and put stickers in every single copy of the book, changing the copyright to me, and that I was able to register it with the Library of Congress.
Wow, a lot of work on your part.
It was worth it. I mean, well, it didn't take that long to stick the stickers. There weren't that many copies of the book, to be honest. But it was just kind of shocking that here I'm writing about copyright and permissions, and it didn't cross their mind, "Well, maybe we should ask this author."
The irony.
Yeah, the irony there is
Yeah.
crazy. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in this idea of free publicity because I do put material out that is on freely available sites. So this is a something for me to consider as I move forward as with some other writing I'm doing about how to get the publicity factor and still, retain. Of course, it would still be attributed to me, but then also like how to make sure that I was satisfied with how it was being used or pirated by another. Not something I'd ever considered before. Thank you, Joshua, for bringing that up. And Dave, for you chiming in about how that might be considered free publicity.
I guess, you know, on the other hand, to argue against myself, if I was in Dean's position, or Dave's, I guess, and I really didn't care about making money off of it, I would release it, you know, with a Creative Commons license or something to make it absolutely clear that it was legit to use for free.
Well, we do change over time, and my publisher of one of my books certainly would be disappointed to find it on LiveGen, I'm sure. I'm just not telling my publisher that it's there if they want to protect the copyright. That's, and my first book, you know, I wrote it, self-published it, and certainly I hoped that I might make money, but as I realized how difficult it is to market a book, you know, I just wanted to spend my time doing other things than promoting my book. So, yeah, so there was a different motivation, you know, a decade ago when I wrote it than I have now, and I'm more lackadaisical now.
This is probably, again, I'm going way off topic, but does
That's
anyone
okay.
have experience with trying to reclaim publishing rights from their publishers? I know that I've talked to a few authors who have gone through or tried to go through the process of getting permission from their publisher to make their book open source or whatever.
Well, I'm the co-author of a textbook that hasn't sold well, and the lead author got in touch with me a few months ago and said, I don't think they're doing anything with our book. And I've emailed the person who's in charge now. You know, of course, the people we worked with have retired or left the company. And, you know, they just, they said they didn't want to do a new edition. And what should we do? So I said, well, our contract does say that we can get the rights back if it goes out of print. But it's not really out of print because they still have a few copies that they're selling. So that's kind of where we stand right now.
Hardly anything goes out of print anymore when publishers can just call it print on demand or whatever.
Yeah. What do you most like to share?
Okay, well, I'll just toss out the question of AI. Do you think of that as plagiarism?
That's where I was going to next. So great segue.
Well, I have not done much with AI yet. My first few attempts have been a learning curve for me. I realize I don't ask very good prompts. I don't write very good prompts, so I don't get very good responses. I did attend a great session at TAA conference that others had done and learned more about considering, you know, how AI could be used. John Bond did a session I thought that was just excellent, which just showcased all the power of AI. I think to me as an author, I would want to know how to attribute when I use.
So I have an idea that I would love to get your feedback on. I find that AI is very useful in taking text and summarizing it, and very useful in taking text and rewording it. So for those of you who are a lot more learned than I am in this area, I wanted to ask your opinion that so I'm under the impression that it's not really great in a dissertation, for example, or an academic peer-reviewed journal article to have a whole bunch of quotes, you know, So I was thinking of using AI to help me, so let's say I highlight an academic peer-reviewed journal article, all the different, salient points that I think are fantastic and I want to use them. But instead of quoting every single thing, what I was thinking is AI could help me reword that particular quote, still giving credit, of course, and citing the author, but just instead of quoting it. What's your all's opinion about that? Come on,
Well,
Mickey, help me out.
I think because what you're asking it to do is one of the two strengths of AI that I've seen, and I've said I've just barely scratched the surface. One, which was summarizing, and the other was rewording. And so if you put in a direct quote, you would get different words, and you're saying you would still attribute it. I'm just wondering, do you also need to attribute the AI tool that you use to generate those words? That's the area I'm not knowledgeable about.
That's a great question. Yeah. I never thought of that.
Anybody else experience with AI and rewording or summarizing?
I think it depends to some extent on how the AI is summarizing, so to speak. The large language modules, ChatGPT and similar, are essentially looking at previous work and sort of remixing it, if you will. And I guess the question at hand is like, how remixed is it? And where, like, if ChatGPT is summarizing one person's work and it draws on a different source and plagiarizes from that other source to summarize, well, that's clearly plagiarism. So it depends on how much, and how fragmentary the large language modules sources are and its use of those sources.
Yeah, so I that's a great point. I would just think that if I typed into ChatGPT, let's say one or two sentences verbatim from this article and say, please reword this information and only use this information, that it would not go out to the whole database that it's available to go out to and find other things, but instead would only reword from the couple of sentences I put in there. That's my understanding of how it works, but I'm open to other opinions.
Yeah, I'm not an expert. My feeling is that the large language modules require a corpus of other data to work with to produce anything. So without other models to work with, without other text that it can compare to and remix, it can't actually generate anything. But as I say, I'm not making large
Yeah,
language models.
I mean, it's to me, it's almost.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
My understanding is the same as Dave's, that these models don't actually distinguish between would don't actually keep track of where they get the text fragments that they use. So you can't really tell it to not use stuff from other sources.
Yeah, but it's almost like now maybe I'm taking this to the extreme, but each of us in our brains, right, we have a repository of information that's based on things that we have learned or read from other sources. So if we reworded ourselves, who's to say that we haven't unintentionally plagiarized from some other source? Because, when you're doing a dissertation, as all of you know that have done them, you're constantly reading academic peer-reviewed journal articles and a lot of them on the same subject, right? So if I try to reword it, who's to say I didn't accidentally use other words from something else I read and don't recall specifically what that was? So I don't know. I think it's a gray area that it's really
Well,
hard to
a
get
lot
your
of
arms around.
people have gotten in trouble recently for exactly that and have not been treated very kindly. So I would run everything through something like Turnitin. I would double check to make sure, regardless of whether you did the paraphrasing or an AI. I would run it through a plagiarism checker to double check for unintentional plagiarism, absolutely.
So, Josh, may I push on that point a bit? Have you used one of those plagiarism checkers on your own work? Anybody else done that? I admit I've never done that.
Is that a program? I mean, I've certainly heard of Turnitin. I've heard that professors use Turnitin. Is that something available to anybody?
Not for free, but
And I
there's
think
that you can get it into
Grammarly
Google
has
Open Site
something
there.
similar that is free, but I can double check that right now.
Joshua, I'm sorry, you were saying you could buy it or do universities offer it to their students?
Universities often offer it to their students. I've worked with a number of students whose universities had a requirement to run it through Turnitin beforehand, and whose professors have the facility to check things in Turnitin beforehand. So Turnitin is accessible to university users frequently.
I remember when I was in college, Turnitin was connected to anytime we turn in any sort of paper, it would automatically go through Turnitin, like when we submitted the paper online. So,
And would it give you a report, Sierra?
yeah, it would tell you, the student as well as the professor, like what percentage was plagiarized or like what it might have been from, things like that. And then a lot of times it was kind of like very loose, and it was like, oh, this wasn't really plagiarized. It was just like humans write similarly in sort of sentences, you know, but.
You know, it's interesting. I have to believe that Turnitin is just a form of AI. So it's going out there and crawling the web, finding, any other exactly written type stuff. So now you've got the AI Turnitin, sort of checking on the AI that summarized the article. Oh my gosh.
Not to get
Oh.
overly pedantic here, but I wouldn't call a comparison program an AI in the same way that I would call ChatGPT an AI. But of course, there is sort of this question of what is intelligence anyway? Like, there was a philosophical question in what Dean was asking, like, what's the difference between a human who goes and reads a lots of books and then ends up creating a sentence similar to one of those books, and ChatGPT, which is just remixing a whole corpus of data. And that's sort of a larger philosophical question. I personally think that when I read something and then process it and write my own sort of summary of that, I know that I'm human. I know that I'm like not just remixing other stuff. I'm using my understanding. A large language model doesn't have that kind of understanding, but right, that's my philosophical prejudice about what counts as intelligence. But I think there is a characteristic difference there. And certainly there is a characteristic difference between a Turnitin comparison to source between sources and ChatGPT, which is trying to generate something new, and just not generating anything new because it's copying.
I can give another human example. This is when I was working in-house, and we had a freelancer who was asked to rewrite certain paragraphs that an author had quoted verbatim from an academic journal, and we didn't want to have to seek permission for that, and so we wanted it rewritten in lay language. And what this freelancer did was just take a thesaurus, basically, and plug in synonyms for words. He kept the sentence structure as it was, and the result was really not readable. It sounded very strange. It sounded like nobody would talk or write that way. It didn't work. It was not successful. We had just had to hire somebody else who had more talent for thinking and writing, because if you're going to write a paraphrase of something, you have to understand what it's saying. You can't just open up a thesaurus. So that's what I'm throwing out as a human example. I also more recently was asked to do some rewrites for a pair of academic authors. They had a journal article that they had submitted, and it was based on a presentation they had previously made at a conference on the same research. So they were describing the same thing. How they did the research was the same, and so forth. And that academic journal was using something like Turnitin. And if you came above a certain percentage, you got kicked out. And oh, you're going to have to rewrite until you get it down below whatever our threshold percentage is. And I just found it wasn't, there was no practical way to rewrite enough to get below that percentage because they were describing the same research. And there's only certain ways that you can say certain technical terms about how they did the research. So I found that kind of a conundrum.
Yeah, I could see that in the sense like oftentimes you're well, for one of my programs, for example, I'm required to pick a journal article and write a review on that article, including reviewing, all the articles that led up to that article and then all the articles that were written that cited that article. When you're doing a review of 50 different articles, of course you're going to have a lot of quotes and things and a lot of rewording of of different points. I can't imagine. I'll be very curious to see how Turnitin looks at something like that.
Well, Elsa, circling back to your point about the way people try to rewrite is what I've faced when I worked with doctoral students early in their program. They would take a passage and they would just use a synonym for some of the words and thinking they had paraphrased. But what that did is it made it really awkward because some words didn't really serve in the right way. They weren't contextually correct when they tried that synonym approach. And one of the things we did in our program was have students really go back to doing the journaling by hand in their, in these kind of journals. And so then they would end up writing it in their own words, not just copying an idea. And another strategy we used is have them write their purpose statement like 10 times over several days, write it 10 times to see how they could actually use different words, but which words were really the ones that captured what the purpose of their dissertation or study was going to be. So it's those writing strategies end up, I think, helping people get away from just copying what the scholar said.
Go ahead, Joshua. Did you have something to say? I also included in the chat the Grammarly plagiarism checker. It's free, it seems. The link, you can just put your text right in there. I don't know if you can only do like a certain amount until it's not free anymore or something, but there's one way that you can get around the Turnitin paywall like that. Use Grammarly.
Got that, Sierra. Thank you.
Yep.
And Josh, I see your point about if students can't rewrite it in their own words, they don't really understand it. I think that's really the key point.
Just to add to that a little bit from a cognitive linguistic perspective, the words we use affect how we think about things, so we can't just throw in a synonym because different words are used, chosen for different reasons, and different synonyms have different implications. So words matter.
Thank you. That's a really good point as well. Also, I linked an article in the chat earlier, but I realized I only sent it to Kim on accident, which isn't super helpful. It was sent to me by Brenda Ulrich, a copyright attorney, and it's about their publisher licensing their work. I should licensing authors' work for AI training. I was wondering what you guys think about that, how you feel about that. if that could be.
Yeah, I just saw an announcement about that. I can't remember one of my feeds, whether it was LinkedIn or one of them, but apparently two of the major publishers, Wiley, I think is one. I forget who the other one was, if it was Elsevier or not. But anyway, they entered into licensing agreements with AI companies, and they're going to give the AI companies access to their entire database of all their articles and all the journals that they have to train the AI, better. What I was reading was so many of the authors that have, published through those publishers are really upset about it.
I was reading it and I was wondering because they were saying, like open access makes it so that the AI is better, whatever, because it has more things put into it. But I'm also thinking, would it just make it more likely that your work would be plagiarized because now it's in the AI can pull from it, and the AI isn't very good at not plagiarizing things, so.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Sierra.
Has anyone else heard about that or would like to go back to one of our previous topics? Feel free.
Oh, I'm just still stuck on this idea. And thank you for the link, Sierra, about this Authors Alliance and, putting work out there from their entire repository to be scraped and then used in AI. I mean, that's kind of a daunting prospect for me. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Do I,
I remember, I think at our last conversation circle or maybe a Q&A at the conference, someone recommended using like a grammar checker or plagiarism checker, but said, don't just put your whole book into there or something because maybe they'll use it towards AI. Like they could just pull that work and put it into the AI to learn. So I think just be careful when you're using the plagiarism checkers, things like that. Don't
Wow.
just copy and paste your whole book into there.
What a paradox, right? So
Yeah.
you want to have your papers reviewed by Turnitin, and the company that owns Turnitin is capturing everyone's papers, and eventually they'll sign some contract with some AI company and sell the rights to everything they've had. That's a very interesting paradox.
Well, and Sierra, I was at that session with you. And they were really talking about don't put your book in ChatGPT. Like, don't just add it to this huge
Oh,
repository.
okay, that was it. I couldn't remember exactly what it was.
Thinking it was a good idea in the session, or like aghast, especially the publishers.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I guess just like put in small chunks that you're like, I'm curious, not sure about this, but don't just put the whole thing in because it might just be taken away somewhere else. But yeah, you can't win, it seems, right now. Just.
Go back to my point in the beginning is that it was a shock to me that my work had been taken. And the reason I cared is because I worked really hard on that project. I'd done it in 2007, in 14. I was working on another version in 21. So this was work I had committed a lot of intellectual space to, and I just was aghast that someone would take it. And I guess that's the whole intellectual property argument to me is that I just it's not that I am the greatest author in the world. I just would like to be credited for the work that I've done.
I hear you. I've been writing a lot for just like the TEA blog, but I put a lot of work into it. I don't think it's the greatest writing or greatest articles ever, but I've put a lot of work into it. And if someone just took it and said it was their own, I would be kind of pretty upset because a lot of energy went into it. And I mean, insane amounts of energy go into textbooks and like research papers, things like that. So, I mean, all a lot of works, things like that. We've got a few minutes left. If anyone would like to share any last questions, comments, links in the chat to something.
I just thank you, Sierra. I added one about plagiarism and academic misconduct. This one was done about 5 years ago, so it's not the latest, but I'm always happy when I find a systematic review because somebody's done their due diligence to really search the literature in a systematic way, and it's methodical and it's well written. So it's a good starting point.
Thanks so much. I'll look at that as well.
And we are recording this conversation circle, and it'll be available on the TA website. And we'll include all the links that we have shared in here so you don't have to remember them all.
Then, if no one has any other comments, if there's any conversation circle topics in the future that you would like to have, to see, to discuss, let me know. You can put them in the chat. You can email me. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, let me know. I'm all ears.
I'm also putting my email back in for those who came a little bit later who may want to follow up with me on any of these topics. I'm happy to be in conversation with you.
Thanks so much, Vicki. Thank you for being our expert today. also, is there a way to download or print this chat? I
I think you can highlight the entire chat, hit copy, and then paste it into a Word document. I've done that many times.
you can also go, there's like three dots up at the top. And
The
if you
chat.
click on that, it says
Save
save chat at
chat.
the top.
Then I think it put it into a folder. I just clicked that. It said show in folder. Okay, yeah. And then I just have the
And it'll
my
download
log
to your
saved.
desktop.
All right, well, I'm going to close out. Thank you everyone so much for joining us and for all of your knowledge and insight, and I really appreciate it. And I hope everyone has a really great day. We'll see you next month for next conversation circle. Bye everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good month.
Bye.
You too.